Now, these days, lads, these days you can't go into a trendy shop without being accosted by crystals and incense and salt lamps and all of that. And part of that trend are tarot cards, but are they really just a fun part of a cool witchy vibe, or are they anything more? Well, I don't know, but writer Sarah Marie Griffin knows a lot about tarot cards and she's here in studio. Thanks for coming in.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for talking about this. It's a really interesting thing because it's funny, I mentioned trendy shops there. I'm going into trendy shops now and my daughter, who is 8, is just kind of gravitating towards the crystals. And instead of wanting to go to like Smith's Toy Superstore, now, they're, her and all her friends, all about crystals and cards, and it's all quite trendy at the moment. And I know they've been around for years. But on a scale from 1 to 10, how witchy are you?
Oh, personally?
Yeah.
Oh, on the streets, I would say 6. But
not bad.
Inside, about 10.
Okay.
So I've been playing with the tarot and playing with tarot cards since I was a young teenager myself, and I'm now far from that. So there's something that have been part of my life for a really, really long time. I do have a very grounded approach to them. I don't really believe that bits of paper have any magic ability to them, but I do think that they're a lovely game to play with your friends. They're a lovely way to connect with people, and especially if little girls are playing with crystals and cards, they're just playing at being witches. They're just playing at having magic powers. There's no difference to me with little girls playing with crystals and tarot cards than playing with magic sorcerer toys or, you know, princess Barbies with unicorns. Mm-hmm. It's all the same. It's all imagination and it's all storytelling. In
okay, storytelling. Very good point. Absolutely. And opening up their imagination. So what is the point in your eyes? So you say you think they've been around for so long, so you think the storytelling part is a lovely aspect of it. But do you remember as a kid, you said it's been in your life for a long time, do you remember that moment? Did somebody do a card reading for you? Did you see cards? Were you given cards? How did it happen for you?
When I was about 12, I came in the way of a big book of horoscopes and zodiacs, and all of that is very number oriented, lots of charts, and I couldn't quite get my head around it. But I did like the little stories about the different signs. I did like the mythology aspect of it. And then when I was in secondary school, a girlfriend for my 15th birthday got me a deck of oracle cards, and they rocked my world. They changed my life. They were deadly looking. They were a great thing to pop out on the table or to put in the grass on the green as we all sat around and play with. And from then, I just thought there was, even though I didn't really know how to use them and I was just making things up as I went along, there is something really special about sitting down around with your friends around a deck of cards and looking at pictures and asking each other about, like, what do you hope? What do you want? Like, what do you want? Like, let me tell your future. Even if you're not really telling somebody their future.
You don't claim to be a psychic.
Oh, my God, no. At least, no, not at all. But the pictures have been around for so long in the tarot. Like, the Rider-Waite tarot deck is the most commonly used one. And that has been about for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And that is something that, those are pictures that people have been referring to talk about each other's lives for a long time, right? There's 78 cards in the deck, and those are pictures that people look at to ask questions about things that are going on in their lives and have been doing for
a
long time.
You said to me off air, because I get freaked out by certain cards.
Yeah.
They freak me out just because of the way they look. But you said there's actually no bad cards in a deck.
I don't think there's a bad card. I don't think it's any bad cards at all. People get spooked by some of the pictures because the death card has a skeleton on a horse, or the tower card has a falling building. But those cards just mean change and just mean shifting. All of the cards are about little things that happen to us all of the time. Arguably, I could pull any card out of the deck and it could be something that's happening to you right now. It's less about me dictating your future and more about us talking about what's going on. That's what I think is special about it. And that's what I think.
Like, it's like a therapy session.
It is a little bit. So you have to be very careful. You can't be just, that's why I think people should be careful with tarot cards, is because it's big feelings and it's big stories and it's quite intimate. Rather than conjuring any magic or conjuring any psychic ability, it's about telling each other about your lives.
And I think that's, and your deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. So that's why I think it's very popular, and that's why I think it's also very risky, because it's about intimacy and not about magic. Well, are those two the same thing, I think? You know?
It was very popular during COVID, where you're like one of those people who hates it when their favourite band gets really famous. It was a bit like that for you.
No, it was interesting to watch it. I mean, my own Instagram timeline has become, and my own TikTok timeline has become alight with different people experimenting with witchcraft and different sorts of esoteric practices. But I don't feel like that at all, because the more popular something gets, it doesn't take away my own experience for it. And honestly, for every 10 teenage girls who walk into a clothing shop and come out with a deck of tarot cards instead of a top, maybe like one or less will pick it up again in their life and find themselves at like a party with their friends, or, you know, at a gathering and be able to tell someone's future or have an intimate conversation with somebody or use them to divine truth in some way. And that's really what it's about. The more that, for me, that I'm excited that more people are using them, because I love them. I think they're great fun. I think they're really special.
It sounds like you really believe that they're all about connecting.
Yeah.
Like it's a connection you have with that person. What's the age range? I mean, if an eight-year-old wants to get a tarot cards, is that a bit too young? Or would you say maybe teenager is better to understand and ask the questions and that kind of stuff?
I think an eight-year-old, if I had been at that young faced with a deck of tarot cards, I would have been kind of bored of them after about 5 minutes, because they are... They're lovely pictures, and you might sit there and look at them and admire them and describe what's happening in them. But I'm not sure that there's any 8 year old who could get there. Maybe there is, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's some baby witches out there that I don't know about. But I think if you're just playing with pictures, then you're just playing with pictures, and you're playing with telling stories, and you're just playing with telling stories.
I'll get her Pokemon cards until she turns 12. I think that's a good idea.
That's a good idea. But what is a Pokemon card if not a tarot card?
Yeah, I mean, what they do in the Pokemon cards is pretty, pretty similar. When and how did you take your interest in tarot cards to the level that it is now?
So when I was writing my last book, Other Words for Smoke, around between 2017 and 2019 when it came out, I knew that I wanted to write about being a teenager who played with tarot cards, because that's what the book is about. It's about coming of age and about three generations of women who read the future in different ways. And having read the tarot cards as a teenager, and having read at markets and things like that in college, and not really been very good at it, I decided to go to see a friend of mine in San Francisco who was a very serious tarot practitioner. She's also an art therapist and somebody who works with people all the time anyway. So I said to her, look, I want to learn the absolute ins and outs of this as a means of preparing for writing this novel. So we sat down over weeks and weeks, and card by card, step by step, we learned about them all together through conversation. So after that, I developed a kind of a fluency with them. Like, if you showed me any card, I could tell you what it means, you know. So I went to learn about them as a means of studying for writing this book, because the book is about connection and women and legacy and history, and tarot cards are also about that too. So I learned about them as a creative tool, as a means of building my own ability as a storyteller, and as a reader of the cards, I'm also a reader of the world and a reader of people. So that was why I got into them.
You just sold your book to me in that last sentence. Yeah. Okay, so what are some things for listeners to remember about tarot cards if they're going to go out and buy them?
Well, on a very technical level, I would say if you are serious about starting to read the tarot, to look for the Rider-Waite deck illustrated by Pamela Coleman-Smith, which is the oldest deck going, one of the oldest decks going, but it's also the one that a lot of modern cool decks are based on. There are some modern decks that are beautiful looking and very striking with their imagery, but they're harder to divine meaning from. The Rider-Waite-Smith deck is the one that all other stories are built off of.
Okay.
So that would be my starter recommendation. My other recommendation is, if you find them appealing and you're like considering dabbling in them, dabble. Just go and give them a try. Just see what it feels like. I think that there's something that's a lot of fun to play with for people. If you're going to see a tarot reader, if you're going to pay for a tarot reader, be mindful of people who can tell you, who will tell you they can read the future.
And take your money.
Yeah.
Somebody texts in saying, I like Sarah's attitude, that the cards are not as powerful as some people would have you believe. And my 12-year-old is really interested in tarot cards. I didn't get her a pack because I was just concerned that some of the images on the card depict death and some darker things, but surely she's seen a lot darker things on YouTube. And 12, I suppose it's good to have those conversations. But as you said earlier, there's no bad cards.
The death card is a dude who is a skeleton, full disclosure, on the back of a white horse holding a giant flag with a picture of a white flower on it.
Yeah.
people always look at the skeleton, they don't look at the white flower, which means hope. You know, so even in the darker cards, there is a lot of hope and positivity in a simple way. I mean, in a kind of a deep way. But so 12 is quite young, but, you know, they'd be able for it. There are lovely decks and lovely books that are designed for sort of young witches or kids who are interested in playing with the tarot. That might be a good introduction, and for whom the imagery might not be quite so. The imagery in the Rider-Waite deck is very medieval, for example. So if that was off-putting to her or she found it a little alarming, there are lots of decks and lots of people who are writing about the tarot who are bringing people in at a very approachable level.
What are your feelings on crystals hitting the mainstream?
I wish I could tell you a single thing about a crystal. I know rose quartz is meant to bring you love. They're something that I think are visually very beautiful in the way that I think are, there's lots of different household decor, but I know almost nothing about them at all. Look, I mean, if you feel better keeping a piece of amethyst in your purse, please do.
Whatever floats your boat.
There,
I have your deck in my hands at the moment. I'm shuffling them like I'm at a craft table or something, or, you know, in Vegas. But if you were to read my cards, what would you get me to do? Can I just pick a card that I feel strongly?
Have a shuffle.
I'm just going to have a little shuffle.
You can ask a question if you like, though I can't guarantee you a correct answer.
Oh, okay. Ask you a question. Okay. No. Okay. Well, we were talking about today about AI. I have a little low level anxiety about AI.
Oh, me too.
And I'm just wondering, is my anxiety warranted? Because people, experts are on trying to convince me that I shouldn't be so worried. But is my anxiety warranted?
Okay. That's a good question.
Okay.
It's a nice broad question.
Okay.
Oh, that's the Two of Wands. So the Two of Wands is a person standing on the shores of a lake looking out over the water with their back to us. And beside them, there is two wands. Wands are the suite of work and creativity. So you can see there are two wooden poles with little tiny shoots coming out. The shoots are the creativity, but the wand is the hard bit. And this person is looking into a crystal ball, actually, or a small globe, and trying to see the future.
That's why I'm stressed. I'm trying to see the future.
Well, it's a two. So in the tarot, there are four suites, and each suite has an ace, and it goes all the way to a king, like a regular deck of cards. Mm-hmm. That's a two.
Okay.
That's a small worry.
But
it's also a beginner's worry. It's not something that's the concerns you have are about something that hasn't even begun yet. If that was the Ten of Wands, we might be having a very different conversation.
Okay, but I like this dude. He's in his robe. He's kind of contemplating the world.
He's ready
out
for
nature,
a journey,
which is what I do when I'm stressed out. I mean, I'm into it. I'm really into the tarot cards.
Converting you, bringing
you
over.
But you know what it is, Sarah? There's this misconception that with people with tarot cards, and they're like, they claim to be, have this psychic power, but I love thinking of them as a form of starting conversations and having meaningful conversations and finding a connection with people, which kind of gets lost sometimes. Maybe we should give these to Cormac when he's in a social setting and he can just whip out his tarot cards. That might be his go-to. I suppose the main message is it is a bit of fun and not to take it too seriously, and it is something and a gorgeous tradition that you can have fun with.
Yeah, I think it is. Fun is the most important thing and connection is the most important thing.
Absolutely, and we're losing side of that
with
AI taking over the planet. Okay, Sarah Marie Griffin is a writer and has a book.
So
it's finished, it's done.
Yeah, my last book, Other Words for Smoke, came out in 2019. I'll have more news regarding future books very soon. But Other Words for Smoke is available in all bookshops, as is my first book, Spare and Found Parts. Other Words for Smoke is a book about Dublin and about witches, for the want of a better word, three generations of women living in a house together and telling the future, or trying to. So it's a big part of my creative life and a big part of my social life too.
Amazing.
The tarot, you know.
Amazing. Thank you so much for popping in and having a really interesting conversation about tarot cards. And I'd love to hear from you guys. And what do you think? Have you tried a tarot reading? And have you done one? Text me 51552.
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.